This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Here we are live. I got both audiences here. Wonderful to see you. Hey, Steve. So, you know the drill. Here live for you, here for your pets. Any questions you want to ask, now's the time to ask. And there's some things that we had left over from last week I want to tell you about. I had a great conversation with my good friend, Dr. Rick LeCouter, who is one of the top board-certified veterinary neurologists in the country. So anyway, we will definitely go over that. So get a hold of me. First, if you're here live, and I already see I'm waving to a lot of you, so you can ask away. Here on Pet Life Radio, you can type in a question or you can call 877-385-8882. Once again, 877-385-8882. We'd love to have you join us. And I'm sounding probably a little hoarse. I forgot last week, maybe I was a little hoarse too, huh? Anyway, now, voice is better, but my chest, I don't know about that. So usually, I rarely get sick. When I get sick, it's literally for 2 days. I get that, the cold. 2 days later, I'm fine. This time it went, I was fine, but now it's in the chest. I'm still coughing. And it's so funny. I did a ChatGPT and I have a gal I converse with, right? And I said, look, I want to know what would be a really good antibiotic. And she wouldn't give me an answer. She goes, many of these infections are viruses. And she's right. In which case, an antibiotic's not going to help. And it can even hurt because it helps build up resistance. If you use it, you don't need it. I mean, I just wanted, give me one or two antibiotics. I said, I have access to all medications. I'm a veterinarian. Tell me, is it doxycycline? Is it amoxicillin? Is it clavulin? Just tell me what it is. Refused to give me an answer. So then I did my own research. I went online and I put in the question, you know, what is a good antibiotic? And it gave me the answer, but it says the same thing. Most of these infections are viral. Antibiotics are not going to help. It's like, boy, you can't give me a break. And I'm not going to, doctors hate going to the doctor. I'm not going to go to a doctor. So I'll give it a few more days. I feel fine. Everything about it is good, but I'm just, you know, I get this cough and it sounds like I'm dying like a smoker. And I've never smoked a cigarette day in my life. As far as other things, well, not in a long time anyway. Now we're talking back in college days. I don't want to go there. So anyway, let's see some questions. You know, I was just saying how preseason started. I have season tickets to the Rams, but I can never go to the Saturday games. So the guy sitting next to me reached out to me. And I said, I'm just going to give my tickets. Unless if any of you want preseason Rams tickets, let me know. I got them. All right. So now I'm waiting. All right. So let me we'll take over. We have a number of you here. So the question came up last week about, do dogs have like these psychological issues like schizophrenia and bipolar? And my answer was that you can't tell. You really can't tell because much of that. And so I asked this question to Dr. Rick LeCouter. He's such a great guy. I mean, here's a guy that I met him over 45 years ago in vet school, and he was doing his residency. He became board certified. He's super, super guy, and he was a professor. I've been in touch with him and friends with him ever since, and he now writes kids' books. He still does. He's emeritus at UC Davis. What a guy. So, and he started laughing when I asked him the question because he had just written a piece on what we call narrative medicine. And this is a lost art because I am of the philosophy and always have been that part of being a good doctor is listening and listening to what many things, of course, but history. And that's called narrative medicine. You have to discuss with the patient what's going on. You can't just go to the tests. You don't even know which test to take really until you get a better history. And that's one of the things I find different in veterinary medicine right now with the young doctors who are so quick to running tests and will say, wait a sec, what are you testing for that for? Is the dog doing XYZ? Well, I don't know, but he's coughing. Well, so what? There could be a lot of things. So you're not going to start testing for these weird esoteric diseases until you get a good history and then a good physical. And then you rule out all many as things as you can and you test for what's left. So, and he was saying, so with these psychological diseases that we have, much of those diagnoses are made through narrative medicine, through talking to the patient. Well, we can't do that. So we always joke, you know, I always say to a client when they start telling me about the dog having a psychological issue, a behavioral issue. And I always say, and I'm joking, I told Sir Rick and he started laughing. And that is that, you know, one thing I can't do, this is a person, I'd sit him down on the couch and have, you know, maybe a little warm chat. And then we could talk and say, well, you know, tell me what's going on. How long has this been going on? How do you feel? Does something predispose that? Or is there a preceding behavior that you feel? What is it? And you talk about it, and that's how you make a diagnosis. We can't do that with dogs. So anyway, that is a real issue. So the answer is, as he said, might they have some psychological? Absolutely. But how do we know? How do we diagnose? Almost impossible. There's no testing yet for it. Now, one thing that I've seen as far as being bipolar, I've had a few cases over the years, and I'm dealing with one right now. A little dog was adopted from a shelter. And for years, the dog was great with the family, of course, maybe a little cautious with strangers, but was fantastic with the family. Now, the dog, as it's getting older, is so nasty, the owner can't even pick the dog up. When the dog gets in bed and the husband gets in bed and just in sleep rolls over, the dog will attack him. I mean, this is weird. I mean, first of all, I don't know how you handle it. I would drug this dog up and put him in a separate room. I mean, they have to tiptoe, literally tiptoe around this dog for fear of being bitten. But the dog was never like this. So now this would be a great one for narrative medicine to sit down and say, what happened? When did it happen? How did it happen? We're stuck. Can't do it. So anyway, in answer to your question, that's the issue. All right. Can you talk about condition in dogs where their eyelids are flipped outward? Kind of course, they're recently conditioned, the scissors isn't always effective. Okay, so there are two types of eyelid condition. Well, there's more. First of all, dystichiasis, trichiasis, where there are aberrant lashes, multiple lashes growing out of one lash follicle. And those can sometimes irritate. If they're directed at the eyeball instead of outward, they will cause a problem. But as far as growth, there is entropion, which is much, much more common, and then ectropion. Entropion is where the eyelids are rolling inward, so the hair from the lower lid or the lashes are rubbing on the eyeball, causing a lot of discomfort, a lot of tearing, red eyes, etc. Then there's ectropion, where there's such a widened fornix, there's little protection, so a lot of dirt and debris and stuff get extend into the actual eyeball in the fornix, in the pocket there, and that causes problems. So is entropion way more common? Yes. Is it easier to fix? Yes. But there are techniques to repair ectropion. I do them. Fortunately, I don't have to do them a lot because we don't see it that much. But basically, the goal is you're going to make it's usually a lower lid. So you take a cut along the lower lid, and then you cut a second cut that you wedge it almost like a V, not mimicking the same arc. When you want an entropion, you want to pull that lid out. So you make like a smile incision. And when you sew it together, you can see what's happening. It's pulling the lid down. When it's ectropion, you want to give it more tissue. So you make a separate V. So you go basically a V to a Y. So you're going to take it, make a much deeper. You're going to sew the bottom up first. That's going to become the base of the Y. And then you sew the rest of it up. So you're adding tissue and it's taking some pressure away, away from that lower lid, and it's adding it to the lid. And that way the lid will start rolling up a little bit more normally. There's no surgery that's always effective, but it is a surgical procedure for it. And if you want to refer them my way, I've done them and they've done just fine. Okay, so are the young vets cannot diagnose, they run every test. Yes, it is, Sharon, that is very true. It is a tremendous frustration for me as an old geezer that I see records all the time from, we just say nicely, elsewhere animal hospital, and I'm thinking to myself, what were they thinking? So it is really, trust me, as frustrating it is for you guys as pet parents, I am frustrated as a veterinarian who is seeing what's coming out of school, and it is disheartening for me, and I wish I had an easy answer. I do lecture about it. I plan to continue to lecture about it because it's sad. And you know who really is hurt the most by it? And I'll tell you, we're getting into philosophy here, and I hate to be on the soapbox. Well, maybe not really hate it, but anyway, And that is that because of this, what's happening to the veterinary bills, they are skyrocketing. So, and then what else is causing these bills to skyrocket? Corporate America. So what's happening is these big companies like Mars are buying these hospitals under the VCA title. And right away, what do they want to do? They're in business. They're the sixth largest privately held company in the world. So do they care really about that little dog? No, 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 no. They care about making money. So they have, you know, they have their investors, whatever it is. So they basically are, the prices have gone up, literally skyrocketed. As expensive as some of these corporate health hospitals were, they're double right now. And people are complaining all the time. So what's happening is they don't know that they have options. They just don't bring the dog to the vet. So the animals suffer because the animal suffers, the pet parents are suffering, you're suffering. The animals aren't getting care. Now, because less business is coming into the hospital, all right, what do? They raise their prices even more. So it's hitting that point now. We're seeing basically a much larger percent of animals going without care. And it's all because of that. And it's a domino effect. So it's ridiculous. You know, that there are only a few ways to increase revenue as from a business perspective. One, you can increase services. And that means for these young doctors, stop referring that cystotomy, that bladder surgery, or that intestinal surgery to the specialist. That specialist could do those blindfolded. They don't want surgeries like that, but they're getting them because the young doctors aren't doing them. So increase your services. Start learning how to do these. Go to CE, all right? Or you can increase your visits, client visits. How do you do that? Well, one way you're going to do it is to lower prices, make it more convenient for them. But third way is to raise your prices. And that is okay for a while, but it's going to bite you in the behind. And it's happening now. So I, with the number of statistics out there showing that the animal visits are dropping, despite the fact that there are more veterinarians, because there are more vet schools. I graduated vet school. There were 24 vet schools in the country. Now there are 39. More and more graduates. And yet, there's a shortage, because veterinarians aren't working full-time anymore. I mean, when you say somebody was full-time, what's full-time, right? 40 hours a week. Veterinarians work 50, 60 hours a week, but 40 hours a week, full-time. You know what full-time is now in the veterinary world? Yeah, it's 3 to 4 days, 30 hours. That's full-time. Well, how are you going to make that work? And the veterinarians want to make, of course, they want to keep up with the Joneses. It's really destroying their profession. I know I'm getting very excited about it in a negative way. Sorry about that, but it is what it is. All right. Can all dogs take Simparica? I just gave it to my English bulldog and she threw up. What should I do? Okay. Well, you know, any medication can cause vomiting anytime. If you gave it with food, maybe try it without food. If you gave it without food, try it with food. It's not like there are certain antibiotics, for example, for dogs that I can say, I'm no longer surprised if they vomit. And because I hear a lot about it. Simparica, the only thing with the Simparica, which is the isoxazolines that we hear about, is the potential, not the cause, to initiate a seizure, but in dogs that have already have history of seizures. The evidence isn't there indicating that it will cause, out of the blue, a seizure. But even if it does, even if the dog gives a seizure, what the experts are saying is try a different isoxazoline. So it's not like all of them do it. One of them may do it, try one of the others. You got four of them. You got four choices. You got Bravecto, you got Simparica, you have Credelio, and you have NexGard. And what I would do is try one of those. I would try the Simparica again. And as I said, just swap it up a little bit, maybe give half. And then everything keeps everything down. Half hour later, give the other half. Or an hour later, give the other half. That's something to do. If that doesn't work, then it's time to go from, and again, I love Simparica. Then I would go to one of the others, NexGard, Credelio, or Bravecto. The only thing, look, Bravecto is, again, very good. But they claim 12 weeks. But on ticks, they claim 8 weeks. So my only thing that I'm concerned about is people are getting it. Because you're paying, basically, it's almost three times the amount because you're getting three times the mileage out of it. So, but then if it only works for 8 weeks, then you just paid for 3 months, but you only got 2 months. I don't know. It's such a good deal. So check it out. See if it works for you. But as far as the product is concerned, it's fine. So Yes, Lulu's NexGard. I didn't even know. Again, we have NexGard only because the owners of the practice, remember, I joined an existing practice. They like NexGard. I have since heard that NexGard is one of the, now, I'm not going to say best, but it's one of the highest marketed and purchased product. So obviously, a lot of veterinarians like myself do like it. But if you told me that you're on Credelio and it's working, I would not change. In fact, I tell people all the time when they come in, I have my own product line and I carry this, a lot of the stuff from my hospital. For example, an ear cleaner. My ear cleaner is great, called Hear You Now. But if someone says they're on an ear cleaner and there are a lot of good brands out there, should they get mine? I said, wait till you're done with yours. And if you want to get it, then we can try mine. And I'm that way with my Body Boost, which is a multivitamin, with my Flex, which is a glucosamine chondroitin MSM supplement, with obviously my shampoos. There are a lot of good ones out there. So don't switch just because it's mine. Mine's not better. I couldn't say that. It's good, but I will never make the claim that it's the best. All right. Anyway, don't go away. We have another wave here, another joiner. We're going to go for our break here at Pet Life Radio. I will stay on here with you at Instagram. Do me a favor, though. Come up with some questions because I can't tell you how everybody benefits from these questions. Trust me, I know. So we'll be back after these short words from our sponsors here on Pet Life Radio. Take it away, Mark.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back here live at Pet Life Radio as well. Anyway, now it's a litter that can read pH. And we can learn a lot from urinary pH. That's the acid-base level of urine. So it is something that can, basically with a making product, that not only are they good for behavior and good for keeping your eye on your pets for safety, but also from a medical aspect to predict, is there a trend going on with your pet that needs to be addressed? Is this pet losing weight? Is the pet gaining weight? Is the urinary pH high or low? Pretty soon they're going to be able to check for white cell count. They're working on it now. So if you have a high white cell count in the urine, that means it's inflammation or infection. So it tells you in advance, these are things that you, and otherwise, by the way, you might not have any idea, especially if they're using the litter box. It'll also be able to tell you if the litter box frequency is increased. So these are all things that can help a pet parent better understand and better evaluate their pet's health. All right, so let's see what we got. I set up a bird feeder for my indoor cat to do some bird watching. She watches all day, interprets and charges. She seems to love it, but it's also frustrating for her. No. You know, it's interesting. This was years ago. It was a video and it had a really cute name and it crossed my mind. I'll have to think about it. But, video catnip. That's what it was. Video catnip. So what it was, you put it in your phone, in your player. Now we don't have that anymore, but you probably can download it or probably get it off the internet. It wouldn't surprise me. And it's just a picture of birds flying around the house, feeders watching hummingbirds. And you see cats going up to the TV screen and tapping it. You see fish and a beautiful fish in a fish tank. All these things that cats seem to like. I have a hammock that connects to a window. And we have a nice big kitchen window and we put a hammock in there for the cat just outside the bird feeders. And they're watching the birds and they're watching the birds and they're watching the squirrels who've figured out a way to get to the bird food. So it is so fun. I don't think they're frustrated. To them, it's entertainment. They like it. You know, yes, they're hunters. Yes, if they had an opportunity, would they try to catch the bird? Yes. But right now, they are having so much fun. And you hear, sometimes they'll make a vocalization, the cats. It's kind of a weird thing. I think they enjoy it. So I don't think it's frustrating. So David goes, first time having an English Bulldog. He dropped out for any advice or anything I should know about the breed. Well, English Bulldogs are great. First of all, the funny thing is I always say about English Bulldogs, for those of you, it's going to be a while, but remember back in cartoon days, okay? And they had the old doghouse in the back and with the, say, you know, the name of the dog on the doghouse. And it was supposed to be the protective dog, walk like this, right? What was the dog? It was a bulldog. Well, guess what? They're not that way at all. They are usually so sweet. They are, you know, personality plus. Now, do they have breathing issues? Yes. Do they get ear problems? Yes. Do they have skin issues with all the facial folds and the head folds? Yes. So, but there is no perfect breed. If you're okay with that, I would say they are really, really good dogs. You have to watch. Obviously, they have a tendency to gain weight, so you got to be careful. You want to keep them lean because of their joints. You know, the way their legs are shaped, they're sometimes a sitting duck for developing arthritides. So you want to keep them as lean as you can. You want to keep them clean. But as far as a pet, I think they're great. My son had one for a long time. He adopted a 9-year-old bulldog from a shelter that was on death row. And he would figure, you know what? Look, it's a poor dog. What has it got? A year left? 9 is pretty old for a bulldog. So he figured months, a year, whatever. The sucker lived 4 more years. So anyway, but he was really a great dog. And so he had that, the English bull and his French bull. It was really, really cute. So copper storage is a condition. We see it. It affects liver. It's not common. And as far as treatment, I have to tell you, I'd have to look up and see what's new and exciting. I have not seen a case in 20 years. And usually these are the things that end up being diagnosed by the specialist because the liver values might be high. And, you know, sometimes you'll see, we don't test for copper, you know, as far as a routine lab work. So sometimes it goes unnoticed. So what I'll do, I will check with my internist friends and I will give you a better, more accurate answer as far as I'm sure the things you want to know about are going to be, first of all, symptoms. How does it look? How do you know? Secondly, what abnormalities one might find on a blood test. And most importantly, how to treat it. It may even take just biopsy. So we need to find out, first of all, more specifics about it and what one can do about it. So that'd be my homework for next week. And I'll be here next week as well. If I hear anything specific during the week, I'll let you know. Was it diagnosed? This question's a weird one. So it's coming up for what reason? Was your pet diagnosed with it? So let me know and we'll talk more about it. And, you know, it's something that if you saw it, I would think would be wise because it's not something to GPs. I mean, I think I'm pretty good and I don't know enough about it. Oh, so ALT is high. Well, look, ALT can be high for a lot of reasons. And how high? AST is very high. Maybe because AST, we don't normally put a lot of weight in, but if it's very high, that might be significant. ALT high, is it above 300 or 400 or is it, you know, 175, 180, 200, low 200s. Again, that makes a difference because ALT, depending on the age of the dog, could be a lot of things. ALT, alanine transferase, AST is 1440. That's pretty high. Yes, yes, yes. I think high normal is 100 or less than 100. So yeah, that is a high. And yes, over 300 for the ALT. So that is it. Now, symptomology, what's going on? Is the dog acting weird? Was this the reason you brought the dog in? Was it acting strange? Was it not eating? Was it having diarrhea, et cetera? So you want to know what is the clinical presentation? What is the clinical effect of whatever this is causing a problem? I believe this may be something that they have to biopsy. I'm not sure, but I don't think there's a test you'd have to ask for, especially from the lab, but it's not part of, negative for masses, no symptoms. Yeah, that's a good one. So I think that if I'm pretty sure, and I'll double check this, that the evaluation, the diagnostic of choice may be to get some sample from the liver. All right. Now, also simple things, you know, change the diet, put the dog on Denimarin or Denisil. It's a S-adenosyl. It's a liver supplement. It's good for liver enzyme elevations. Again, ALT is the most significant and 300 is high, but it's not 1400. I've had ALTs that are, you know, way, way above 1,000. So those are the ones that really worry me. AST, we don't see that elevated that often. So because it is 1400, I would definitely pay attention to it. But more research needs to be done, more evaluation, more testing, et cetera. And I'll try to find out for you what would be the next best step. All right. Anything else? Any other questions? I want to make sure I wave to everybody. And once again, as I say always, if you have friends, anybody who could benefit from hearing this wacko doctor every Sunday morning, giving advice, answering questions about their pets. You know, one thing that I'm seeing, as I mentioned earlier in the show, that because of the high price of veterinary care, many are not electing to go to the vet. So this is where, you know, I'm defining telemedicine. We are so busy on AirVet, our telemedicine platform, because people are looking for alternative ways to get information, get advice, have the pet seen, or virtually, of course, seen by a doctor, and helping them sift through the many possibilities. And that is kind of my job on a Sunday morning. If I can equip you with knowledge, knowledge is king. If you have to make a decision, how are you going to make the decision without knowledge? So are you faced with a quandary and you can either, I don't know, to go this way or this way? At least I can help you decide which would be the better course of action at this time. So take advantage of me. My clients do it all the time. They have my cell phone. They call me whenever they need to. I know I'm crazy, but you know what? That's where my joy comes from, is from helping pets, helping their people. And that makes me a happy camper. All right. So we have gone through, I think, everybody who I wanted to wave to. Thank you so much for joining me here today. I know it's probably better things for some of you to do on a Sunday morning, but anytime you want to, and look, you don't have to wait till Sunday to get a hold of me. DrJeff@PetLifeRadio.com. DrJeff@DrJeff.com. Jeff@AirVet.com. There are so many ways I'm trying to avail myself so you can get to me. I can answer your questions. And if you do have my cell phone and you're going to call me, do not leave a voice message. I tell people I rarely listen to them. Send me a text. All right. Anyway, have a great week, everybody. I will let you know. I will do some live stuff from Super Zoo, from the floor at Super Zoo. I always have so much fun seeing what's new, seeing what's exciting, seeing, oh my God, the grooming competition. You've seen that with those poodles. It's unbelievable. But hopefully we'll have a chance to visit during the show if I have time. I don't know if they're going to be working me like crazy in the booth, but we will be here next week, same time on Sunday, 9 in the West, noon in the East, and anywhere in between. And I will see you then. Have a great week, everybody.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.